Aren't we thankful for the love of God? It continues on and on to all humanity, to all who would take time to listen to God and accept it. Well, Thanksgiving has taken place. Hopefully you won't stop giving thanks, right? Every day is a reason to give thanks. God has blessed us and continues to bless us every single day. How many of you watch football on Thanksgiving Day? Anybody want to admit it? A few of you? Yeah? Okay. Football is probably one of our biggest sports in America, and a lot of people spend time watching that. Devoted fans number in the tens of millions, and that doesn't even count all the people that are screaming and shouting at their television, right? the stadiums fill up, and thousands of people gather around to watch this sport as they get excited about their favorite teams. I was given a comedy flip calendar to keep track of my days several years ago. It doesn't work. I forget to turn it over, you know. Anyway, one of the comedy little comics in there has a picture of two preachers sitting in the middle of a crowd of a football game, and one preacher is talking to the other. He says, "I hate football, but I love to be where people are excited about something." So a lot of people go, they get all excited, and they throw things, and they shout, and they holler, and they scream, and they yell. And we come to church, and it seems like a lot of times we just kind of, don't talk. And there are times when we shouldn't talk. And yet there are times when we sing praises to God. What should we be doing? Just lifting up our heart in praise and thanksgiving and shouting and joyfully singing to God as we celebrate Him. I enjoy watching sports off and on when I get a little bit of time. I used to like to participate until I got creaky and old and frailer. But I love singing praises to God more. I love gathering with God's people more. I love to get together and talk about the joy and the blessings that come in Jesus Christ, the redemption that He has for us. I love worshiping with the church family and sitting in a crowd of believers instead of a crowd of angry, upset, cursing people who are upset about something. Through Jesus and supported by His body, I find that I have been given the life-giving power of Jesus Christ. And you are given that same power. We gain strength and revival through sharing together as fellow believers. It helps us to face the challenges of the world, the corruption of the world. Death itself can be faced when we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and we can help each other in that walk, in that faith, in that service. I can give thanks in all circumstances because Jesus is in control. Amen? No matter what's going on in our world, no matter how bad things may get, Jesus is still in control, and He has promised us that there's much, much better coming because of Him. Sports activities provide something to watch. Serving Jesus is personally challenging, fulfilling, and is an adventure when you walk with Him day after day. Movies may entertain you, and they play on your hopes. Jesus fulfills your hopes. The world only provides death. Jesus gives us what? Everlasting life, for He is life-giving power. And so we need to turn to Jesus, walk with Jesus, be faithful to Him. A little bit of history on our circumstances. We are studying in the book of Acts, and we're going to be covering a lot of verses today. through Acts chapter 9 and all through chapter 10. And I'm not going to read all those verses. I would encourage you to read those on your own. But the history before this is that Jesus has established his church. 50 days after his crucifixion, it was the day of Pentecost that the church began. The very first congregation was composed of all Jews. 10 years have passed by the time we get to this section of Scripture, and the only people who are benefiting from the good news of salvation is what group of people? It's the Jews. So, we find that God intervenes to move the church into the next phase of growth that he wants the Christians to follow. The apostles were now led to understand that the Jews were not the only people in the world who needed saved. Gentiles needed salvation too. They needed to hear the gospel too. Gentiles are part of the whosoever's of John 3:16. For God so loved what? The world, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish. Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, the apostles were sent to all nations. At this point, they weren't going to all nations. They were only going to the Jews and to the Samaritans to a limited degree. The life-giving power of Jesus is for who? For everyone. And so in our text today, we see that point where God reveals, first of all, to Peter and the rest of the apostles, the Christians of the day, hey, there's still a lot of people out there. Here's your first family I want you to share the gospel with. Let's go to God in prayer before we read this section of Scripture. Thank you, Father, for your great love for all humanity. You sent Jesus into this world. He came willingly, lived a perfect life, gave himself as that final sacrifice so that all people would have the opportunity to receive salvation. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your grace and mercies that have opened the doors for all who would believe in him. Help us to be your people, to be your children, and to continue to spread the message on to all people that Jesus died for their sins as well. Help us to help the whosoever's, because we are part of those people. We have been helped, and it's time for us to help others. Guide us, direct us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Because there's so many verses in this section, as I said, we're not going to read all of those verses. Let me hit some highlights and try to summarize some sections. But starting in chapter 9, verse 32 through 37, we find these words. Now as Peter was traveling through all those regions, he came down into to the saints who lived at Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas who had been bedridden 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. Immediately he got up, and all who lived in Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did, and it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Let me just summarize. They got word that Peter was in down the road at Lydda, and so they sent a couple men to go down to get him, and they contacted Peter, and Peter came back with them, and we come to verse 40. Peter sent them all out of the room, knelt down and prayed, and turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. She came back to life. We go on down through this next section that Peter stayed there for several days, and he was residing there. Now, while that was all taking place, up the seacoast is Caesarea, chapter 10, verse 1. Now, there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, and he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. And fixing his gaze on him, and being much alarmed, he said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and alms have ascended as a memorial before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa, and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. At that point, the angel gives specific directions on where to find Peter, whose house to find it, and so Cornelius sends two of his trusted servants and a soldier, three Gentiles, down to find Peter, a devout Jew who is a Christian, the leader, in a sense, of the church. And at the same time, the next day, as these three men are approaching Peter, it's about lunchtime. Peter goes up to the upper room and he's praying, and all of a sudden he has this vision, and this vision has a sheet lowered down before him. In this sheet, on top of the sheet, are all kinds of unclean animals to the Jewish people. And a voice says, Arise, kill and eat. Peter says, No way, us Jews don't eat that kind of stuff. I've never defiled my body. And then the voice comes back, what God has cleansed, don't call unclean anymore. This happened three times, and then the sheet disappears up into the sky. And Peter's really confused at that point. He's hungry for lunch, but he's just had this marvelous vision, and he doesn't know what to make of it. Verse 19, while Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, Behold, three men are looking for you, but get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgiving, for I have sent them myself. So Peter goes trotting down the stairs, goes to the door, and who's at the door? Three Gentiles looking specifically for him, because they were sent by a message of an angel through Cornelius. They stay the night. Now, this was unheard of. These are Gentiles, and they are taken into a Jewish home. This had never been done in a common practice. Jews don't mix with Gentiles. That was the rule. But God is breaking down those barriers. They spend the night. The next morning, they all take off, and it takes 2 days' travel. And by the time they get back to where Cornelius is, Cornelius has gathered all of his family, all of his friends, and they are sitting there waiting. And they arrive, and Peter says, Well, I'm here, what next? And Cornelius tells him about the vision he's had, all the details. And then Peter responds, verse 34, opening his mouth, Peter said, I most certainly understand now that God is not one to show partiality, but in every nation, the man who fears him and does what is right is welcome to him. This is mind-boggling for Peter. He goes on to preach the gospel to Cornelius and his household. And Cornelius was a centurion. He had 100 soldiers under him. He was from the nation of Italy, but he was in charge of these 100 soldiers, Roman soldiers. He had a lot of authority. He also was in charge of maintaining peace. He was aware of the confrontations between the Jews and the Christians, but he didn't know all the details, but he did believe in God. As he's also familiar with the story about Jesus, but he doesn't know all the details. So Peter has preached the gospel right in the middle of the sermon, verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. All the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also, for they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered, Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit, just as we did, can he? And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Wow, what a change, a surprise for the Apostle Peter, as well as for his fellow Jews who were with him, to have God put his stamp of approval on Gentiles. This is mind-boggling to Peter, and we're not going to discuss. Peter had to explain it to all of his friends back in Jerusalem, all the fellow believers back in Jerusalem. But right now, he is just dealing with this circumstance of he's the first one to be able to preach the gospel to Gentiles, and God shows his approval. Picking up with the notes, Jesus provided power to revive the sick and the dead. Now, the Apostle Peter was empowered by God's Spirit to perform many miracles to glorify Jesus. We see this over and over again as we've read through the book of Acts. Peter utilizes that power quite often. The apostles had been trained by Jesus for over 3 years as he worked with them, teaching them by his own example, and then the Holy Spirit working through them as well. Powers over sickness, disease, over nature, over demons, over death itself. And they were eyewitnesses of the power of Christ to overcome his own death. Certainly this has never happened before, and it hasn't happened since, that a person could raise themselves from death. Jesus was unique in that. Proof that he was the Messiah. Going on to the second point that I have there is that Jesus enabled the apostles to perform powerful miracles during his ministry, then continuing on afterwards. And this is where we are at in the book of Acts, in that period after Jesus had ascended back into heaven. We just read at the beginning of this that a man had been paralyzed for 8 years. Now, just think about all the atrophy of the muscles and the coordination, everything that digressed and diminished the longer that person laid there. I was down for about 8 days a year ago, a little over a year ago now, remember? And just 8 days of not doing much caused some atrophy for me. I got weak. I got lazy, if some people would use that term. It took me a while to recover after just 8 days. But what would 8 years do to a person of not moving, not being able to walk? And here Peter walks in and says, by the power of Jesus Christ, rise up and make your bed, dude. Don't just lay there, make your bed. And he immediately responded with full strength, full capability, full coordination, and was able to do exactly that by the power of Jesus Christ. By God's power, immediately he was restored with his muscles, his coordination. You all know that when death strikes, what happens? Decay immediately begins. Death needs immediate attention. When somebody dies with a heart attack, you say, well, we'll call the doctor in an hour or two. No, you call 911. We need somebody here now. You start all the different methods of trying to revive the person. When? Immediately. Well, there's a little problem here. When Dorcas died, and they thought, well, maybe Peter can help. There's a problem here, because Peter was 20 miles away, round trip. How long does it take you to walk or run 20 miles? It's not going to be 3 or 4 minutes. It's going to be hours, maybe all day long. But these two men went as quickly as they could, rushed to Peter, called for him to come, and Peter willingly came. And even after hours of decay had set in, What happened? Dorcas was raised back to life. God is not limited by physical things. God is life itself. And through the name of Jesus Christ, the power of Jesus, Peter was able to raise Dorcas back from death. Can you imagine this lady sitting, laying on your bed, and all of a sudden having a man staring at you by your bedside when you wake up, when you lift your eyelids? What was her response? She sat up immediately. How do you do that after you've been dead for a day? It's only power of Jesus that could do that. Jesus continued providing power for the apostles, the deacons, and others who were blessed with the miraculous gifts, the miraculous signs and the wonders, when it served the purposes of God. Those gifts are given by the Holy Spirit to whom He desires to give them, and when He wants them to be used, when it honors Jesus. We have description of this in 1 Corinthians and also in the book of Romans, if you need to study that further. This was not an everyday common gift to all people. Only certain people receive these special gifts according to the plan of the Holy Spirit. Our hope continues in the life-giving power of Jesus. Before Jesus raised Lazarus from the tomb, He assured Martha, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me shall live, even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in Me will never die." That is a powerful statement made by Jesus. I firmly believe that our Lord is telling us that when He returns, He will raise all the dead. This is the promise of Scripture. All the dead will be raised before Him to face the judgment seat of God. And those people who are still alive will not have to face death, because they will be transformed. We, especially as believers in Christ, will be transformed immediately to rise up to meet the Lord in the air. 2 Thessalonians talks about this. And wouldn't that be wonderful if you didn't have to suffer death? No pain, no sorrow, no grief, no separation, but to be transformed immediately into that new body that we are promised according to Paul's writings in the Corinthians. Are you ready to see Jesus face to face right now? He's coming on the clouds. There's clouds outside. We better be ready. Always, we are called to constantly be ready. Jesus provides power to revive those who are sick and dead. So don't fear your sickness. Don't fear death. If you're walking with Jesus, there's nothing to fear. The second point I have is that Jesus gives life to the walking dead. To the walking dead. Now, right now, I'm a little disgusted with some of the television programs. There's an unhealthy infatuation with death and destruction. Interest in evil and violence permeates our music. It permeates our television, our movies, our lifestyles. Look at your news. We see horrible things taking place to people. Satan has drawn our culture into lusting after bloodier and more graphic depictions and practices of pain, cruelty, and suffering. That's all from Satan. It's not from God. Our people around us, including our families, need to hear about life, love, grace, and mercy. One of the popular TV shows that's going on right now, has been going on for a long time, is The Walking Dead. If you're watching that, I encourage you to reevaluate your values. Focus on things that promote life, goodness. Even the old westerns that I love has a lot of death and destruction in it. And maybe we shouldn't be watching a lot of that junk, but watching things that help us draw closer to who? To God. the giver of life, the giver of blessing. Now, I struggle with my own failures too, so I'm saying this involves all of us. Well, maybe we need to do some reevaluation. God wants us to be a people promoting life, not death. People without Jesus are the real walking dead, according to scriptures. Every person from the creation until Christ were sinners. And it continues on. In John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said that he came that we might have what? Life, abundantly. He describes himself as the bread of life. He describes himself as life itself. John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus removed the barrier between God and all people. His death, his burial, his resurrection opened the door for every believer of Christ to unite and to enter into heaven itself. Let me read a passage out of Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 13 through 16, which talks about even our relationship between each other. And Paul is here focused on the relation between Jews and Gentiles, that the barrier has been broken down. But now in Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace. One more verse there, I believe, verse 16. And might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. God makes us one family in Jesus Christ. We are not two families, one group of Jews that don't associate with the Gentiles. I don't know. I think most of us here are probably Gentiles. There might be some of you who have some Jewish ancestry, but unfortunately, most of the world that follows Jesus are now Gentiles. God wants the Jews too. God wants everybody, doesn't he? The whosoevers, the world, all nations. And so we see here in this passage a drastic change, reforming the mind, the thought processes of the church in the first century, changing the direction that they are going, not just picking the few, but making sure that all people have this opportunity to hear the gospel. Dead Gentiles were eagerly waiting to hear the gospel. Cornelius was practicing religious piety without any guarantee. He was hoping that God would take notice. And fortunately, God did take notice. He imitated the practices of Judaism and was aware of Christianity, but was not invited to join either of them. Can you imagine that? Have you ever been in that situation? You see all kinds of good things happening all around you, and you're not invited. We've all experienced that in some degree somewhere in our life. But what about eternal life? Cornelius wanted to serve God. He wanted eternal life, and nobody was inviting him. And he was praying, he was seeking God, he was trying to do all the right things, but he didn't know how to find salvation. God prepared Cornelius to be the very first convert to Christ along with his family. Imagine that. God gave him a special vision with specific directions to find the right person who would give him the message. The eyes of the Jews had to be opened to God's plan of offering salvation to all people, that the whole world was loved by God, that the whosoevers could come to Jesus as well. God had to prepare Peter through a specific special vision Imagine what's your worst food that you hate? Imagine God letting down a table right in front of you and said, "Eat that." "No way, I hate that stuff." God says, "No, you are going to eat it if you want to live." And that's kind of the situation Peter was put into. God says, "This is good. You must eat it. You must partake of it. You must practice it." Oh, well, if God says, maybe should we listen? We better listen if it's God speaking. And that was the case for Peter. If you remember, Jesus had told Peter that he would have the keys of the kingdom. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. Who was it that preached the first gospel sermon on the day of Pentecost? It was the Apostle Peter. And now, God opens the door to preach the first gospel sermon to Gentiles. So Peter opens the door of salvation to not only his kinsmen, the Jews, but also to the Gentiles. And it's not just Peter who is to preach the gospel. It will continue on with all of the church family, which we will see further as we make our way through the book of Acts. The outpouring of the Spirit of God on the Gentiles proved to those Jews who were standing there the acceptance of those Gentiles and into Christ's body. When the Holy Spirit was poured upon those Cornelius and all those Gentiles who were with him, it woke up the eyes of those Jews. They were stunned, but they could not deny the power of God, that God wanted those people to have life as well, that their souls were important too. They are part of the whosoevers. Peter immediately fulfilled the command that Christ gave to the apostles. Whoever believes in him, are those people are to be what? They're to be immersed. They're to be baptized into Christ, which he and his fellow Jews did immediately. The full intent of God's plan of redemption is finally underway as the apostles and the first century church realize the extent of God's love. For God so loved the world. Go into all the nations and preach the gospel. Now it's finally starting to make sense. God continues to provide his life-giving power to all of his servants, and we are to reach out to how many people? All people. No one is exempt. Jesus came to seek and save all of the lost. Are we ready to accept the whosoevers? I hope we are. You guys are loving, you have open arms, and we need to always be encouraging each other to welcome all who are seeking the life that Jesus Christ has. God will lead us to some people who we may wonder. We may know their history, and we may know their past, but if they are seeking salvation in Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what status they are, what race, what gender, what their history of sin is. If they are seeking salvation, Jesus has the power to forgive them if they will walk with him. The gospel message is for them. The blood of Christ was given to cover their sin too. Jesus still has life-giving power. Let's never forget that. Let's reach out to people around us and encourage them to come to Jesus who gives everlasting life. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for giving us life. We thank you for blessing us abundantly, for taking care of us, for every good thing that comes to us day by day. Help us to continue to spread the gospel. Encourage us where we need to speak up and to speak to individuals. Maybe they are friends, maybe they're family, maybe they're total strangers, but guide us and give us the words as you have promised to share hope and life with people around us, to come to Jesus, to live for Jesus. We ask your blessing upon our week. We would ask your blessing upon the gathering planned for this Friday night. Let your name be honored and glorified in all things as we continue to move forward in your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.